We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We had learned the first Mishnah of the second chapter. Rabbi Omer is a Yiderech Yeshara Sheyavor Lo HaAdam. What is the straight path that a person should choose? Kol Shei Tiferet Lo Osev, Tiferet Lo Min HaAdam. Whatever is glorious to the performer and glorious among mankind. And here we had seen different approaches as to what the Mishnah is discussing. Is the Mishnah discussing how we perform every mitzvah? Is it within the realm of the Teriyag Mitzvot, the way Rabbeinu Yonah interpreted it? Or, he quoted from Maimonides that the Mishnah is talking about the golden path, in which case the Mishnah is not even necessarily specific to a Jew. It's talking about humanity. What's the balanced approach to life? And then one has to choose a path that's glorious, and not only in his own eyes, because sometimes we can mislead ourselves, but it has to be that people, normal society, views it as something glorious. It's not enough that other people view it gloriously. We also have to view it gloriously. Sometimes other people are very happy glorifying if you're too giving, if you're too kind. And sometimes society will praise something which is not really praiseworthy. You need that balance. That you feel it's right, and you get the feedback that it's right. Yeah?
Yourself, a friend, that's the feedback, right, that you need.
That too, but it's a question of society. Sometimes you get a buddy who's as crazy as you are. So you need society to say, yeah, that makes sense. Saying one friend isn't enough.
Sometimes it's society.
I don't think I'm understanding this in the proper context, because... sounds a little bit off to me.
I'm listening.
It says, pursue something that's glorified in your eyes, and that it matches also the eyes of the society. You can have a corrupt society and therefore become corrupt. So it seems as though you're leaving the categorization of what is glorified into the decision-making process of the human intellect and emotions, with both on the individual level and on the societal level, which is A, subjective, and B, corrupted in and of itself, whether it's by things like the Yetzer Hara or by the evolution of the given society, etc., or the person's personal experiences in life. Which is why I thought that when with regards to Torah, the Torah defines for us, or at least hints to us, what is glorified, what is good, and therefore what is light, what is darkness, where we are meant to pursue that.
So that's for sure. That's why we said if we understand the Mishnah the way Rabbeinu Yonah said, so then we're talking within the realm of mitzvot. How far one should take certain things, and that was the Rabbeinu Yonah's approach. But the Rambam is saying that the Mishnah is talking to us about finding balance in life. Now you're saying it could be that my thoughts will contradict society, so the Mishnah didn't give you a formula for that yet. What happens if you find society to be corrupt, etc.? So that's what we asked. But this was all last week's discussion. Your question is right. I'm just recapping last week. That could be, but so that takes us back to last week's question. Is he talking only to the Jewish people? There's a basic machlokas in all of Pirkei Avos. Is all of Pirkei Avos speaking about a high level of piety, just for a chassid? Is it speaking to the leaders of the Jewish people, like we see in the beginning of the tractate, that it's talking to the leaders, have many students, what's that relevant to me? A susyag la Torah, set up fences for the Torah, or is the whole tractate talking to the Jewish people at large, or is it talking to all of humanity? And we discussed different approaches in general.
Remember, it seems some applies to everything, and some, as you said, is very specific.
Right, so some want to say that when this Mishnah says Ha'adam, it's talking about all of humanity. That would explain why we don't just say what Ari said. Hey, you have a Torah. What do you need society to define anything for? So he said, in that sense, this interpretation makes more sense. If you don't have the Torah, if the Mishnah is talking about humanity in general, how do you choose a path? So then I can understand what the Mishnah is talking about. If we're talking about the Jewish people, then what am I looking for a path for? So then we said the Rabbeinu Yonah seems to work better within the realm of mitzvot. But you could also understand the Rambam, because even within the realm of the Torah, you have a question of how brave should I be as a soldier? How dedicated should I be as a firefighter? Where do I cross the line and starts being crazy? So that there, it's hard to find the definition in the Torah, and according to the Rambam, that's where you have to maintain a balanced approach. So, okay, all this was last week's discussion. Back to our Mishnah. Be careful with a light mitzvah like a severe mitzvah. So we have to define what's a light mitzvah, what's a severe mitzvah. You don't know what the wages of a mitzvah are. So that means you don't know how important a mitzvah really is, just because we think it's light or severe. So let's see the Rabbeinu Yonah. וזהיר במצווה קלה כבחמורה שאין אתה יודע מתן צרן של מצוות. אף על פי שנתפרש אלינו העונשין מן העבירות, even though the Torah actually does tell us different punishments for different sins, שיש מן בקרת. You have some sins that the Torah says a person will be cut off. יש במיטה בידי שמיים. Others, a person gets a death penalty at the hands of heaven. Two different things. Karet uvezaron yichatin. So Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion that any time the Torah says karet, it means that the punishment affects his children as well. That's a machlokas. Not everyone agrees to that, but that's how he learns. Mitam b'dei shamayim ulevadon yichat. But if it's death penalty at the hands of heaven, then only he passes away young. Ve'yesh avera shibar b'mitot beidin. Other sins, if one does them willfully with witnesses and the warning, so then he can get the death penalty at the hands of the court, and we have different types of death penalties. Yesh bilav shumalkot arba'im. Other prohibitions are prohibitions for which there's lashes. And a person who transgresses the rabbinic institutions, so then he gets the lashes, the rabbinic lashes. Ach lo nitparesh elenu schar mitzvot. But when we look to the other side and say, okay, but what do I get for performing the mitzvos? There the Torah doesn't tell us. Lo bakalot velo bachamurot. It doesn't matter if it's the easy mitzvos or the difficult mitzvos. The Torah doesn't tell you. Mashluch hachamim zal mashal ma davar dome. Our sages, there's a famous medrash that's often quoted, that this is similar to a melech shemasal la'avadav pardes lintoa. He gave his servants an orchard and he said, I want you to plant in this orchard, lintoa bo ilanot. I want you to plant all kinds of trees in this orchard. V'ilu haya modi aleim matan tzcharam, hayu kulan tochim botan ilanot shescharan merubeh. Now, the servants are going to get a share of each tree's produce. If the king's going to tell them, well, you know, this tree, its produce is worth such and such, and the other tree, such and such, so then everyone would have focused on the trees that have a greater value. And then the orchard ends up being missing. It's not a complete orchard. It doesn't have all the trees the king wants. If God would have told us the wages for the different mitzvot, then everyone would focus on the mitzvot that have great wages, and people would forgo the lighter mitzvot. And then a person wouldn't be complete. He wouldn't do all the mitzvot. I'll give you a small example. let's say you knew that for wearing tzitzis, you got tremendous wages in the world to come. So then you'd be very focused on buying yourselves pairs of tzitzis, because that's the huge mitzvah. Thank you. We would have a hard time being more broad, more encompassing with tefillin and mezuzah and kriyat shema. ומזה הטעם לא יבוא להקל במצוות ותיקר בה נפשו לעשות אותן לפי שאינו יודע איזה קלה ואיזה חמורה. So now that we don't know the weights of the different מצוות, so we try to do everything. אבל רבינו הקדוש הפליג בדבריו ונתן טעם לדבר חזק מזה. So that's the Medrash. Rebbe, in his Mishnah over here, came to give a stronger reason why we don't know. ואמר שאין אתה יודע מתן שכרן של מצוות כמו שהיו שאפילו מצווה קלה, שכרה גבוה עד למעלה. What Rebbe was saying is a different concept. He was telling you when you have an easy mitzvah, you have to realize that its wages are tremendous. When he said you don't know the value of mitzvahs, he was coming to say you don't know the value of even a small mitzvah. What Rebbe was saying is, be careful, you don't want to lose such a huge profit. That's what he was saying when he said, you don't know the wages of the mitzvos. He was saying, when it comes to the mitzvos, we sometimes take it easy, you know. A guy eats a meal, and then he has to bench. So he'll start talking to a friend, and then he'll run out and take care of his laundry, and then push comes to shove. Half the time he forgets to bench. Say a bracha achrona, not such a big deal, but we don't take it seriously enough. If we would think for a minute, hey, this is an important mitzvah. If you think, I do this mitzvah, I'm going to end up with another $50,000 this week, you'd be very careful to do that mitzvah. But we don't think of it that way. So came along Rebbe and said, hey, take the mitzvah seriously, because even the ones that seem light, they have tremendous wages. So be careful not to lose such a great profit. Like our sages said, the Torah says, if you happen upon a bird's nest, so make sure to chase away the bird. If you build a house, make sure to put a fence around the roof so you don't fall from it. When you buy a garment, if it's a four-cornered garment, be careful to where it sits. When you get married, so make sure to perform your obligations. So our sages said, what's the juxtaposition here? The Torah was saying, you be careful of my easy mitzvah of chasing away the mother bird, not taking the baby in front of the mother's eyes. I'll get you a nice garment. I'll get you a nice garment. I'll get you a nice house. I'll get you a nice house. I'll get you a nice wife. Ah, wait a second. For such an easy mitzvah, what's the big deal? I wanted to take a few chicks to make supper from. And the Torah says, don't take them while the mother's looking. Chase the mother away. You see, for such a small mitzvah, came along the Torah and said, the wages are so big. Came to teach us something. Over such a minuscule mitzvah, the Torah says, it'll be good for you. Lo'olam shekulo tov. And in the eternal world, v'arachta yamim, you'll have longevity. Lo'olam shekulo aroch. You'll have a world that's so long. How much more so when we come to the more severe mitzvos in the Torah, that there are tremendous wages waiting for us. So Rebbe was coming to tell us, hey, take it seriously. And that's difficult. We hit Kriya Shema. How easy is it to be focused? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. One sentence. Is it so hard? Yeah, it's hard. Because we don't take it seriously. If we really thought there was a meaning to it, we'd take it more seriously. And this is the way it is in much of our mitzvot. You know, big deal. A guy gets up late. So I'll catch tefillin later. And then 3 hours pass, 6 hours pass. It's almost sunset. Did he catch his tefillin? Maybe yeah, maybe no. But his whole attitude is reflective of the idea that it's not so serious. Guy misses Ma'ariv. He says, no, I'll get Ma'ariv later. Maybe he should stop and daven Ma'ariv now, even without a minyan, so at least he ensures he doesn't miss that Kriya Shema, biblical mitzvah, and davening Ma'ariv. Yeah, it's probably a better idea, because a guy knows himself. Chances are he's never going to make it to that later minyan, and he'll never daven that Ma'ariv. So we have to think about taking the things more seriously. All of the mitzvot. And that's what Rebbe was coming to encourage us.